morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 56 minutes. Big news. We're in Southern Berkshire. Listen, if you're down there, 88 FM on your radio dial. And if you're interested in getting advertising or whatever, underwriting, I'm sorry, give us a call at the radio station. Today, I don't want to belabor this because this guy is really busy. He's really good to even come on this show. I've known him for a long time. I knew him when he was growing up as a state rep, and now he's blossomed into a state senator. His name is Paul Mark. I consider him a man of integrity, honesty, and total candor. And that's what I like about somebody. So, Representative Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for that. I appreciate the endorsement. Very, very, very grateful. It's a nice thing to have said about you, especially when you're in this business.
Well, and in your business, it's always nice to have anything nice said about you.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, but just a little background for the folks. I believe when Paul Mark announced he was going to run for state rep, I was his first radio interview, and I was so impressed with him. He was young, but he was smart, and he has a moral fiber. Mm-hmm. And I attribute that to his parents and his upbringing. And he carries that moral fiber everywhere he goes. And I mean that, Senator Mark.
Thank you. And it's funny what you said. When I moved from the House into the Senate, and in the House I had the city of Greenfield, and I thanked the people, because the Greenfield is not in the Senate district. Right. I thanked the people for like their vote of confidence in a person that they didn't know from the Berkshires, you know.
Right.
To serve them, and I guess they thought served them well, because they reelected me 5 times. But also what you said about when I first met you, yeah, I was probably 30 years old, and I was just starting out on this thing. And I said to them, you know, it's been interesting, but thank you for watching me grow up in front of you. it's a weird feeling. It's like, yeah, you're not really a kid at 30, but you're certainly not as old as maybe you thought you were when you were 30, and now looking back at it 14 years later, it's like, yeah, I've really done a lot of stuff in front of an audience, as it
right.
were. So, you know, so I also would say, you know, you took a chance, you rolled the dice on someone that you had never heard of, and I hope it paid dividends, and so I hope it still is. So, yeah,
I think it has, and I'll tell you why. You've touched areas that they're not the most popular, and mm-hmm. people aren't going to be out jumping up and down, but they're so needed. Mm-hmm. Examples: rural transportation to schools, all the rural stuff you've done for the smallest of the communities,
right?
Not the largest, right. And for years I think, and I'm not trying to badmouth anybody else. I liked all the ones that preceded you. But somehow you get caught up in the bigger picture. You know, I used to be have a real job. No, I didn't. I got proof. You get caught up in the bigger picture and you forget, wait a minute, this big picture is made up of a mosaic of all little pictures.
Yeah, that's a great way of saying it. That's really that, like, e pluribus unum, you know, for many one. It's like a kaleidoscope. And,
yeah,
if you... It's hard to navigate with like so many communities, and you know, you go from Pittsfield, which is a real city, has all those issues, to a town like Mount Washington that is under 200 people and has a lot of its own issues, and then everything in between. And yeah, it's tough. And so you try to hear as many as you can, you try to listen, and then you try to deliver for a little bit for everybody, you know.
And, yeah, and they're all different. And here's what I found, too, in my career. Working with a big organization, right, with all kind, and then going down to a much smaller, you have the same issue. Like, Alfred has the same issues per capita as kind of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's definitely true. Everyone's facing the same basic challenge, you know, like how do I get through the day? How do I get my family through this? How do we have a better life? How do we take the vacation we want? How do we save up for the future? You know, are my kids gonna go to college? Whatever it is, they're gonna find a job. You're right. Every community is like a microcosm of the same
That's
issue.
right.
Yeah, they just present themselves differently depending on where you are, you know.
Yeah, and I get a I get a I don't want to say a kick because I don't. I actually get kind of angry when like we have a 2-hour delay in Pittsfield, and then you read on Facebook, yeah, well, Williamstown didn't have a 2-hour delay. Mount Greylock, I didn't have a 2-hour. Monument. Well, no, their kids don't walk to school.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was what, -19 with a wind chill or something this morning.
Oh yeah.
And I saw, I live on William Street, and I'm watching a little kiddos walk to school even now. They're bundled up like they're, mamook. They're, but yeah, I think we got to be stopped being so critical of everybody and everything. Team.
I think that's a good point. I think that would be really helpful to everyone in our community, in our country, and even around the world, is like, how do we be more supportive? How do we maybe take a second and think, like, do I know why that person's doing the thing they are doing today? Like, you know, what did they go through this morning or last night? And yeah, it's easy to like blame social media because, you know, I remember when I was a kid, it was like, oh, we watch too much TV. That's why the kids are all bad. It's like, you
Gonna
know,
rot your brain. That's an
every
assumption you had
generation.
a brain.
I know. Every generation, it's something new. But I think there certainly are some issues with the extremely instant communication and the extreme ability to broadcast like an image or and now, I mean, God, you start thinking about like this artificial intelligence. I mean, I was reading something that said if in 5 years, and boy, it might even be less, the AI stuff gets so convincing that they show like totally fake things and we think it's real. It may have the unintended consequence of like bringing people back to books and magazines. So like maybe there's a good thing.
I mean, you're exactly right. I'm sure it has a lot of really pluses. It really does. Like social media has a lot of pluses. I keep up with classmates and fellow veterans, and but boy, it's got a lot of negative stuff too. And any Yahoo can type anything they want up there, and then you get the person who quotes it as gospel.
Well, yeah, that's the other part.
Where'd you read that? The internet. Well,
And
then it's gospel.
then like how much money do some of the people that run some of it like need? I was reading, I don't know if you remember this, I barely remember it, but there was one of these social media things called MySpace back like in
Yes, yeah.
2000. Yeah.
Wasn't that Fox? Didn't Fox start that, I believe? MySpace.
Yes, I something, but the kid that was really involved with it, I guess, made like 200 million, and when whoever bought it out, he sold it and he went and became a world-class photographer. Like,
Cool.
you know, like so there's something to be said, regardless of everything else, there's something to be said for someone hit the jackpot and said, you know what, this is what I always wanted to do, and did it. They didn't say, well, 200 million, now I need to get up to 500 million and 10 billion. It's like, you know, it's like they did something that I think was like rewarding. So good for them. Tom, I
And
think.
I don't want to embarrass you.
Uh-oh.
I have to say you kind of resemble that. You had a tough go after your dad passed. Yet you managed to get a job, work at it, do very well. You also became you college graduate, PhD, and then you went astray, then became a lawyer. There you go. No, I'm only kidding. But that's, I think, what some people lack today is stick-to-itiveness. There's, it's not going to be an easy road. There's going to be bump. There's bumps in everybody's road.
It's how we deal with it is what makes the difference sometimes between success and failure is can you take it in stride? Can you can you survive? I mean,
True.
yeah, just there's just so many examples of that,
Yeah.
and we all meet in adversity, and you know, it certainly helps if there's good people supporting you. Like, yeah, my father was wonderful in spite of all the adversity that he faced and our family faced. You know, he never gave up. When I talk about like the years of we didn't have the water heater. Someone was telling me the other day, "Oh, my grandfather lives in a cold water flat." I was like, "Oh yeah, I did that for 6 months.
Yeah, yeah,
We
yeah.
didn't mean to."
But
But
looking back as an outsider, just meeting you for the first time on that radio show and being with you since then, all of those trials and all of those tribulations, I believe, has built you into the character and the person you are today.
Well, thank you. I think that's true. And I was having a conversation with someone the other day about that, and I said I don't want to get over it. Like I've dealt with it, I've accepted it, I've overcome it, but I don't want to forget it.
Exactly.
It's you know, because it is. It's fundamental to who I am and what I care about. And I think there are people that overcome and then they think, well, if I could do it, why can't you? And kind of sneer about it. And it's just because we're all different. That's why, you know.
Yeah, me to you, I think the older you get, the more of those things that you experienced when you were a teenager and your early 20s and stuff will become more vivid. I'm speaking for myself. I've been home from Vietnam for almost 55 years. Oh, but recently, over the past year and a half, some of the events, some of the people, they become very vivid in my mind. And for years, it was a flash. You know, you say, "Oh yeah, that's right, yeah, I forgot." But now, I mean, it's, and I think you'll experience the same thing. Because there were building blocks for us.
Yeah, I was you would think I just sit around and read all day. I was
No.
reading something else. It was like, why does it seem like time moves slower when you get older? And
Yeah.
a factor is because we do, or excuse me, why does time move faster as we get older? Because we do things that are repetitive, and so our brain doesn't like store them the same way. But when something's new, like you just said, like, my God, I can't even imagine going to Vietnam. Yeah, that's in there. That's a main
Yeah.
thing in your life. And yeah, I think you're right. I think these things are gonna come out once the hustle and bustle like kind of relaxes and you have some time to process them. And I say, like, driving to the turnpike though, it's like
Yeah, you
it
got
takes
plenty of
3 hours,
time.
but it feels like 10 minutes because I do it the
Yeah,
same way,
yeah,
you
yeah, yeah. You got plenty of time. I mean,
know.
really. Well, by the time we get that high speed rail in from Pittsfield to Boston, I'll be at St. Joseph's Cemetery decomposing, and you'll be an old man like me because we don't want to displace any polywogs or anything that might be floating around. Well, lots going on in the public. I mean, the sanctuary city piece, sanctuary state piece in Massachusetts, especially. But there's been some maybe opening of the windows, changing of minds, whatever, with the governor and people. What's your take?
Well, yeah, I'd say a direct impact of just everything that's been happening for the last few years has been someone was explaining yesterday because we happened to have a Senate caucus that there was an assassination in Haiti, and when that happened in either 2021 or 2022, like that just sent the country into another round of unrest,
Yep.
and because of that, these people have been, you know, rightfully fleeing
Sure.
unsafe situations, that kind of thing, and have come here, and they have legal status, so we'll throw that out there. But it's been an influx of a lot of people into the shelter system in Massachusetts, and so an impact in Massachusetts that we've talked about has been that this program went from something that costs about $200 million, which isn't a joke, it's a serious amount of money, but $200 million to help families when they hit tough times, to it was $1 billion, I think, for the last fiscal year. And so that was a surprise, and when you have an unexpected jump in an expense like that, just like at home, you know, it has an impact on other areas. And so we had a presentation yesterday from the Secretary of Housing and his team and some people from the governor's office, because they're asking for a lower level of funding and they're asking for some restrictions. And so whenever a proposal like that comes out, there's people both in the Senate and in my district that some people are like, just end it all together, and other people are like, no, you can't change anything. And you know, the truth is usually somewhere in the middle. And so that's what we're trying to figure out in the next couple of weeks. In good news, they said that they think by the end of April there will be nobody being housed in any of the hotels. And in the Berkshires, that's already ended, at least to the last I knew. And that's a good thing. It's like, boy, I'd rather be in a hotel than sleeping on a sidewalk or in a car. But at the same time, you know, you can't really cook. And if you get kids that are going to school, it's very, I know that it's very uncertain, changing schools and that kind of thing. So yeah, we're hoping that the crisis is starting to subside and that we'll get the program back on track. And I mean, it's happened before. I talked about Greenfield in 2014. There was a big influx. I don't remember why now, but Greenfield was one of the places that was really heavy hit with some of the placements. And I remember going to Utah, and that's a conservative state, and learning what they had done. And they had like a housing first model, which just saved money. And it's funny how sometimes like a policy that maybe the center left and the center right both think about for different reasons can actually work for everybody. It's just finding the will. And when I came back, you know, I went to several communities and county organizations, and I asked, you know, any of you want to pilot this, like be a test program? And you know, they get distracted and it never came together, which was kind of disappointing.
And fear. I mean, I think, when Billy Clinton was president, a team of us went down to Haiti to when Billy put President Aristide in. And I have to say, with the hundreds of millions, maybe billions of dollars we put into Haiti, I was shocked. I was shocked. The condition of things, the condition of people. I have a picture somewhere. I've been, it's, you know, it's a mind is a terrible thing to lose. So if you find mine, drop it off at the house. Of a young man standing up on a hill, relieving himself, and a woman down at the bottom of the hill in the stream, putting water into a bucket.
Oh, gross.
And, but, like you said, I don't have, I really and truly believe some people are fleeing. Maybe they're not refugees or all that, but they are fleeing poverty. I was never poor, poor, but we were never rich, rich either. So, but we always had food. And I, my career, I've seen people who were really hungry because I hadn't eaten for 3 or 4 days. So I think we're trying to measure goodwill and humanity reasons against budget reasons and the snakes in the grass, because they're and all these wonderful people, there's some snakes.
Yeah, there's always, I mean, you know, whether it's government, whether it's when I worked at the phone company, whether it's business, you know, there's always someone out there that wants to ruin it for everybody, you know,
Pretty.
if we
You're
engage
exactly right.
and say it,
You're exactly right. And I just think that we're in a crisis now. Do I think it was a man-made crisis? Absolutely. I mean, if you don't, then you're still chewing double bubble bubble gum.
you know.
But is it something that we cannot overcome? No, we can overcome it. But I would like to see us overcome it. I would like to see us overcome it with an open heart.
Yeah, I think that's correct. That there's a humane and kind and respectful way to do things. And you know, if I could donate $1 million to charity every year, I would. Unfortunately, I don't have $1 million. You know what I mean? It's like there's a lot of There's a lot of good-hearted things we all want to do, and we do the best we can. So I think we stand out in Massachusetts as a leader, and we stand out as the only state that has this policy. And the policy is not going away, that there's the right to shelter for families. It's just, what do we have to do in a time of crisis to make sure the program works properly? And so we'll see. This conversation just getting started, and I hope we'll end up in the right place in the coming weeks.
Oh, I do too. And I think now that and don't take offense to this, please, anybody, but the kumbaya thing is worn off and reality struck in. And I think the governor, she was appalled that there were crimes going on in the shelters. Well, the shelters are many communities.
Right,
Bottom
right.
line, get the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know.
The senator from Quincy told me that yesterday. So there was some crime. I don't remember which one. There was a crime in one of the shelters in Quincy, and he said the police chief treated it exactly how you just said that. Yep, it doesn't matter the neighborhood in Quincy. Sometimes it's a crime, and we're gonna deal with it properly, and that's how it is, you know.
It's wherever you put a group of people together, whether they know each other, they don't know each other, whatever. It's a community, and humanity is not perfect.
No, not at all.
No, believe me, I know. But I'm glad to hear that the Senate and the House are looking at ways of dealing with this because, you know, I bump a lot of people are really angry is probably the wrong word. Upset's probably a better word. That our tax dollars are going for this. And I'll be honest, I think the Fed should kick in some money.
Yeah, they should have. We expected them to last year.
Yes, we talked about that, remember?
Yeah, and it never happened. It never came together, and it was definitely a failure. And the blame goes everywhere. You know, you can't single anyone out, but there's plenty of blame to go around. What do they say? Success is the other way around. A failure is an orphan.
Right, failures and orphans. Everybody owns the success. But, you know, I quoted yesterday the I had Congressman Neal on, and I remember a quote from JFK, and it was, it's and it's I paraphrase. It's not a republic. It shouldn't be a Republican thing or a Democratic thing. It should be the right thing.
Right, yeah, true.
And
When
boy, oh boy, we need to get back to that. Well.
people's lives are on the line, I mean, it should be a
That's
lot
right.
better.
And
So
what other what else do we have brewing in the state that's
Well, we, we're in
interesting?
a, yeah, we're in a funny time because when the session starts, all the bills from last year are over. So they either got to the governor or they didn't. And so we start completely new because you have to act like every 2 years there's 200 new members. And you know, the reality is it's probably 40, but you have to, like, we have a new representative here in the Berkshires, and so she's learning the ropes, and she's doing a good job doing all the stuff you do in your
I
first
should
term.
reach out. I should reach out to her and see if she has any regrets.
Well, and if you're going into South County now too, like she probably
Yeah.
wants them on, that'd be good.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. And I, you know, I mean, the thing is this: I admire people who go into public. I don't always agree with everything you do or anybody else, but you, most of the people that I have aligned with and are in tune with. I believe do it for the good of our state, our country, and humanity. I could be wrong, and I'm sure I'll get some emails saying, "Boy, are you a Pollyanna?"
I think 90%, I think you're right. 90% of the time, that is true.
No, I mean that. I see the, even the local people. I mean, city councilors, Peter Marchetti, he's always. Whether you like them or dislike them, I don't have time for that. Doing the right thing. And I think so far, in my opinion, and of course, in a minute, I agree. Oh, by the way, folks, in case you're just tuning in, I am here with Senator Paul Mark. You see his name right there. There'll be a picture when we do this. Well, I do want to let you know the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way, no way. represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti in the mayor's office, Peter White in the city council, or the person who's standing on the ice hoping that it doesn't break. Because if you fall into that water, you'll be out quick or you'll be a tuna. I think, a lot is being, I don't know if you've seen any of this. I haven't seen any of the mass statistics, but this morning on the business news, or one of the either days running each other, yesterday or today, they were going on the reading levels and the math levels of kiddos. Oh, it's scary.
Around the country, it is scary. Like I'm happy to report Massachusetts consistently comes out at the top of these lists, and that doesn't mean we're perfect, but we're doing something better than most places. I think the last time I saw a stat, if we were a country, we'd be sixth in the world. So like that's pretty high ranking. But yeah, when you see things like that, and that goes back to the whole like, do you blame TV? Do you blame
Oh, I know.
social media, electronics? And I don't have the answer. Underfunding, and in other states, I know there's significant underfunding. But yeah, it's not good because like when you're thinking about the workforce of the future and competitiveness of the future, I think people were kind of shocked that China just admitted they had some AI thing that surpasses all of our stuff for a third of the price. And the NASDAQ there, the stocks went down because people were completely shocked by it. And it's like, why are you shocked by it?
Well, it's like when they fired Russia, I think it was Russia fired the first hypersonic missile at the Ukraine. Everybody goes, when did they get those? Well, it's nice to turn off the TV and not pay any attention, and but by not paying attention, you don't stay up to date. And there's a book, before I forget, and my memory, you should read it if you haven't. It's called Anxious Generation. It's on the, it's back up. It was on the top 10 New York Times. Then it went off. The Polish Princess told me it's back as number one. I like you. I like to read. And this thing, I had an awful time putting it down.
Wow, nice.
And it's all fact-based. And it is, is me Irish mother, saintly Irish mother would always say, God rest her soul. An ill wind blows some good fate. The ill wind c could be technology, and the good fate is what we've gained from it. But for, like with everything, you know this, there's a plus and a minus. And a lot of it is the telephone and the and they call it addiction that some kids have to it. And social media has been, I think a blessing and a curse. That's just my opinion.
I don't know where I saw this, but someone said, remember when we were kids and you wish you could read other people's minds, and now that you have social media, you realize you weren't missing anything?
Oh, that's a good one. I used to have one, a friend of mine, he was from Texas. He would say, Bill, you see that person over there? They're so dumb. It's like ignorance gone to seed. We're going to take a break. I'm here, and I'm very honored and privileged to have with me today someone I have the utmost respect for, and I mean that. I kid with him. I kid with a lot of people, but this is gospel. Paul Mark is a man of integrity. He's a man of honesty, and he's as transparent as the day is long. And by, I'm happy to say he is our state senator here out here in the Shires of Berkshire. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial, WTBR TV 88 on your FM dial, and PCTV channel 1301 on your Spectrum dial. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from Precision Brows, specializing in creating flawless microblading that enhances beauty and saves time every day. Find them online at myprecisionpmu.com or call 413-553-1059.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
The Berkshire Queer History Project by Berkshire Stonewall Community Coalition is an ongoing initiative to document the lived experiences of our community and ensure the preservation of our voices in our voices. Our goal is to collect these stories to form an archive that may be used for future exhibitions, research, or simply as a way to remember our past struggles and triumphs and look towards the future together. For more information, please get in touch with us at berkshirestonewall.org.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Tired of the same old on the radio?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's all the same day.
Hi, I'm Hannah. Each week I search the archives for hidden gems from your favorite artists. Plus, all the latest releases and rock trivia. Please join me for Deep Cuts, Thursdays, 4 to 6, at 89.7 WTBR-FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass, now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Hey, we're back. I'm here today with Senator Pallmark, State Senator Pallmark. He represents our district. Basically, if you look at his district, it's just about all. How many miles is it, Paul?
It's 1,676 square miles of fun.
Yeah, and he gets to drive it. You know? And then several days a week he drives back and forth the best. Mm-hmm. And then that Chinese fire drill that is. But what have you enjoyed the most about being a state a rep first and then a state senator?
The things you get to see that not every day is it different, but there are so many days that the job you're doing is completely different. So there's a day when you go in and you meet with kids that are playing with coffee cans and like these little lasery things, right? And rubber bands, and they turn this. I couldn't imagine doing this in third or fourth grade. They turn this basic equipment into like an oscilloscope. So like it measures their voice. Yeah. It's wild. And so like one day you're doing that, one day you're at a ceremony for the 250th anniversary of the Boston Tea Party, which like if you like history, I like history, like interesting. And then like earlier this week, I'm chopping carrots with the mayor and Tricia, and we're doing it to help feed elderly.
Yeah,
because they're making the soup. It's like, you know, so that's what I like about it is. It's interesting enough. You see enough different things. And if you like to read and learn about government and how people live and things like that, it's rewarding. And then when you go to an event and they talk about how some funding you helped get made a difference, like that means a lot too. I was at the community college the other day, and I think three students talked to me about how they were there because of the Mass Reconnect, the free community college for people over whatever age. And I was like, wow. I said, I just blurted out loud, excited utterance. I said, yeah, wow, my father really could have used that. My God, I'm so glad that they have this right now. So, you know, there's enough good, and then there's plenty of bad, but there's enough good.
Yeah. But you know what? I think as far as some of the media, mm-hmm. and some people, they focus on the bad. Mm-hmm. I try to get up in the morning and focus on the good.
Yeah.
Now, I met a pledge several years ago while I was overseas. It didn't look good for the immediate future. Let's leave it at that. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, every day when my feet hit the ground, I'm going to thank God and I'm going to hit the deck running.
Mm-hmm.
And then I added one other piece to it, smiling. Because I noticed all the other people running were frowning. And I just try to find the best, not the worst. It's easy mm-hmm. to find the worst. Trust me, that jumps out at you.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and especially, like, the city council takes votes that I wouldn't take, but I don't dislike them for that.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, I certainly think that, as you know, as a lawyer, there are parameters, and you need to stay inside those parameters.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of that, and it's a good thing. It's just, it's a frustrating thing.
Yeah.
There's a system, and we all have limited powers and specific jurisdictions, and there's a reason for it, because we don't want any person or entity or organization amassing too much power and running roughshod over people. We want right. the diffusion. And so, yeah, I'll get calls once in a while about something that a town or the city did. And it's like, I can call the mayor. I can't tell him. I don't have the authority. They think, well, your state, you can tell the mayor what to do.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I can, but then he won't talk to me anymore. So he doesn't actually have to listen. You know what I mean? I don't actually have that authority. Just like the governor's not my boss and I'm not hers. We work alongside each other. And then I got an email about some of the Senate confirmation hearings down in Washington. And I'm like, unfortunately, I won't have the opportunity to ask that question.
It's Thanks. Above my pay grade.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And you know, it's been and I don't want to go too far astray here, but it's been a crazy election.
Yep.
It's been a whirlwind since the election.
Yeah,
I know some veterans are all up in arms about this latest pronouncement about unfunded or whatever that just came out. Now they've rescinded it. It's been a whirlwind, and I think people just need to sit back, take a breath, and relax.
Yeah, a thing I said the other night. Me and Lee Davis did an office hours together in the town of Lee. Yeah, it was good. It was a good forum. Hour and a half, like 30 something people showed up. It was good discussion. And you know, one of the questions was, of course, about what's happening in Washington. And what I said was, whether you like or dislike the new administration, a thing we need to all agree on is there is a rule of law and a constitution. And yeah. I don't want someone I disagree with to have more power than they have. And I don't want someone that I agree with to have more power than I have. I may like a policy, but even if it's the person I voted for, I don't want them to have the authority to do things they're not allowed to do. And okay. And so I hope that's something that resonates. And indeed, when other administrations are in and people have written to me about things that are questionable, I try to make that heard, because it's important. You know, it the system we have was set up intentionally. Again,
yes.
It was in the 1780s, so
well thought out.
Yeah,
and if not to cut you off, well yeah. thought off and developed by people who had been persecuted.
Exactly, and we're students of history. had lived through what we would call, I think, oppression today in a very specific, directed manner. We're not talking about some systemic oppression. We're talking about they were singled out and were under investigation by their government of the time for political action. And they didn't want that to happen again. And John Adams, Massachusetts guy, specifically stated in convention that Europe has been at war for thousands of years.
Yep.
France fights England, and then England fights France, and Italy fights this one. And it's like, if we don't want to do that, we have to stay united.
Right.
And we have to have a system of laws and not of people. And it's been not perfect, but it's been working pretty darn well for almost 250 years. And I want it to continue. I want this experiment to continue. And so, yeah, regardless of your ideology or philosophy, there are safeguards that are important and they need to remain.
Now, I could be wrong, but didn't the legislature vote to put civics back in the curriculum?
Yep, in 2018, I believe. Yep.
Oh, good, yep. Because boy, that's needed.
Yeah.
Sometimes when some of these programs do, they interview the man on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You think to yourself, oh, spring break especially, right? So you're, I'm a sophomore in college. Great. Thomas Jefferson do? He was a president.
At least they knew that.
Yeah. Was he what president? He was before Eisenhower. Yelling.
That is technically correct.
Yeah. But you know, I in how a bill is made, I was very fortunate. Mm-hmm. I worked on Capitol Hill and I watched how, and a lot went into how they made the sausage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think people understand the depth and the width of what it takes to make a bill, a law.
And it's not like ordering a pizza.
No.
It's the law. And once it's final, it is very hard to undo. And so a lot goes into it, and a lot of input and a lot of asking questions and hearings and things like that. I mean, it's a very serious thing. I mean,
For sure. The
ability of the government, even like a city level, to like change the amount that you were taxed is a serious thing. I mean, you're talking about money that people earn, and then it can change things they're able to do in their life. So like having that responsibility is such an amazing challenge, and I'm not saying anyone isn't doing this. Like like you said, I think 90% of officials are trying to do their best.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, I do. But you have to take that responsibility so seriously. And then, it's frustrating in a world where you can go online and you can order coffee from Argentina and it'll show up at your door 3 days later. Like that in that world, it is hard to understand why I have an idea. I like, why hasn't it become law in the last hour? You know, it's just...
What are you guys doing down there? Just sitting around or what? Come on now. Hurry up. Well,
and when I teach a class on civics, I'll do something like I'll do a broader experiment and they'll all come up with a bill. And by the end of the class, they have to narrow it down to one idea. And And it's funny to watch how these like 15 students become almost like a mini Congress, that this pragmatism kicks in and they end up coming to a consensus on maybe it wasn't the best idea or the most bold idea. It was the one they could get everyone to agree to.
I say to
one of the other students, so why did you give up on your idea? And they're like, oh, well, I didn't. I just thought this one would work. And I like, exactly. So now you see when we file a bill and doesn't pass, like, no, I didn't suddenly think it was a bad idea. It just, it wasn't the one that was getting traction, you know?
Yeah. And I think what a learning, that's a hands-on learning experience that will stay with them for a very long time.
Yeah, one of the kids is on the school committee now. Yeah, that was in one of my classes.
And I think too, the more we educate people on a lot of this stuff, you know, the better off we're all going to be.
Oh yeah, definitely, definitely.
You know, you and I are fortunate because we've seen bills made. You've made bills, but and watched the like. I knew a lot of the staffers and, you know, the hundreds of hours they put into research and one guy that I always really thought the world of. His thing was, how will it impact the richest and the graft, the top, all the way down to the lowest.
Right.
And I always admired him. His chief of staff was just like that too. He was like, you know, my mom and dad worked all their lives. How's this going to hit them? And I think people got to understand, I don't think there's a politician in the world. Now, that's how naive I could be. That would try to do away with Social Security.
I don't think in a serious manner. I really hope not. I mean, that's something people we pay into. We pay into when we work.
Yeah.
And we expect it to be there. And as like Congressman Neal will say, it's the most successful federal program probably in the history of this country. Yeah. You went from just older people in poverty for generations to you have a shot. You know, hopefully you're able to save a little more, or maybe you have a pension or something. But and I think in a good sign, one of the last things that happened under the previous administration, and it was completely bipartisan, they, as a Congress and as a president, they ended that windfall provision.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So if you for people that don't know what this is, if you had worked private sector and you had made the appropriate number of quarters for Social Security, which as an example, I had already done by the time I was 31, I had already had 14 years in.
Yeah.
And if you then started paying into the Massachusetts pension system, you now did not get your full benefit. And that was, that was law for 40 years and it just changed. So if you're out there and you're a teacher or retired firefighter or police or anything in government, and you had also worked at, say, like GE or any of these companies before and had a second career, you now should be eligible to get your full benefit from both, which is a good thing because you paid into both and so you earned it.
Exactly. You
know? Yeah.
Exactly. And my hope is, if I'm incorrect, please correct me. I thought Trump was going to do away with taxing Social Security. Wasn't that one of his?
Well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. He said a lot of things. We'll see what happens.
I know. Yeah. I mean, but I mean, as a person who paid into Social Security, got my quarters and all that, like you, long before I ever cashed them out.
Yep.
I feel it's a double tax. You know,
I see. Yep,
the first time, and now they're taxing us again.
So
I tell people now, excuse me, as I tell, my wife and I used to be on fixed incomes, not on shrinking incomes. But I hope, you know, and I'm not blaming anybody. You know, I mean, there's some things that everybody's done wrong, in my opinion, but I didn't have to make the decisions. So.
Right.
But I have to make the decision, then you can yell at me.
Yeah, it was. I obviously I'm too young because I think it was 83 or 84. But for whatever reason, a law passed. I guess it was to like reform something, and the states had to decide which way they were going to go. And then when we went that way, it turned out like probably within 5 years, like, oh, that was the wrong move.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember like Ted Kennedy had been trying to fix it. And it just never happened. And Congressman Neal would talk about it. So it's actually really great that it has happened, because I think it's going to benefit, especially in our area, a lot of people that worked at GE, you know, and then lost that job and had to figure out a new career, and so hopefully you'll be getting a little bump in the near future, hopefully.
Well, that and the Polish princess, you know, she taught for 42 mm-hmm. years.
Yep.
And, you know, so she back up. She gets Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I applaud the team that did it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think too much. I don't want to get you in trouble, but this is my opinion. Too often, it's okay to be loyal to the party, to whatever. But when you think they're wrong, you need to give your 2 cents worth.
I think that's 100% true in two directions. So we've often talked, and I appreciate it. when Republican Governor Baker was in, instead of if we knew there was three things he wanted we would never give, and there was three things we wanted he would never give, we found the seven that we could agree on, and instead of sniping about the three, we worked on the seven. And generally Congress does the opposite, which is bad, and blah blah blah. We're not going to attack them at this moment. Yeah. But then the other part of it is what you just said, though. But boy, if someone in my party in state government, I've seen this happen actually. If they go to jail for whatever reason, I am not going to vote for them to stay in. And I it was not a fun moment.
No, how bad?
The House expelled a member.
Yeah.
In 2014, because the gentleman was physically in jail, and he was a classmate. He started the same year as me. So, you know, he was, from what I knew, from my experience with him, we got along, and, you know, it didn't feel great. But boy, if you're sitting physically in jail, I'm sorry, you can't also claim that you can be a state rep. And so he refused to resign, and we had to expel him. And like, that's an example of, yeah, same party, friendly acquaintance, too bad.
There's the Republican thing and the Democratic thing and the right thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I told Congressman Neal this yesterday. Not long ago, I might have told you too, you know my memory. Am I at home? No. Somebody asked me 4 or 5 months ago, so you're a Democrat. I said, no, I was a Democrat. He said, well, what kind of a Democrat were you? I said, I was a Kennedy Democrat. She said, oh, you're a dinosaur. Well, and that's why I'm an independent now.
Right, because
bottom line, I didn't think I was a dinosaur. I don't tell a lot of people this. I volunteered to go to Vietnam because I believed in John F. Kennedy.
Wow.
You know, I'll never forget. We're going to put a man on the moon,
mm-hmm.
not because it's easy, but because it's hard.
Right.
We've lost that. Where are we, Paul? We've lost that.
Yeah.
They want everything handed on a silver platter. I knew as a kid, as a teenager, got to get off my soapbox here. They'll throw me off the air. As a kid, there wasn't anything America couldn't do and individuals could not do given the effort.
Yeah, I think somewhere along the line, some people thought we do amazing things because it's just who we are. Not that we do amazing things because we're willing to work really hard and work together. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, I do. I do. And that's what bothers me so much now when I see all this vitriol.
Well, we got blindsided, right, with Sputnik. And how do you be getting blindsided? You show them we can do it too. So
all I can say is I am so happy that there are people in our legislature like yourself, like John Barrett, Pignatelli, who just retired, this new lady, and so many others that are drawing the wagon in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you heard me say this? If the federal government's Congress would only work as efficiently as Massachusetts legislature, we'd be in a lot better shape.
I think you're right.
No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
Even some of these hearings, you know, I'm not going to get into it, or the selection of the people or what. But there's a way of being collegial, and you can interrogate, you can question, you don't have to be sniping. That's just my opinion.
You saw some of the old fashioned stuff. I think Marco Rubio got a 99-0 confirmation.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, yeah.
It was a moment where some people, I think, were like, you know, I don't necessarily agree with your politics, but I know.
Yeah.
This is the team that won.
Yeah.
And I know you. You're gonna do your best. You know?
You're an honorable person. Yeah. And I think for people out there that vote in this district, you're hearing and seeing a guy, Paul Mark, who. What he says is how he lives and how he votes and how he is a politician.
Yep.
And I don't want to call him I'm going to call him an elected official.
Thank you.
No, not, because politician now has such a bad connotation.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm not
old enough to be a statesman. So I like that. I'm elected official.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be, well, call me when you get 45 and I'll make you a statement. If I'm here. If I'm not here, let a carrier pigeon go. If it goes up, then you know which way it went. If it goes down, then you know which way it went. Paul Mark, you are a wonderful interview. You're so intelligent. You have compassion, and I hope that I never lose my compassion. I pray you'll never lose yours. I don't think you will. It's part of your inner core. But thank you for carrying the water for all of us out in Western Mass to the state Senate. And continue good health, happiness, and enjoy your ride to Boston. If I were you, I'd get the War and Peace on CDs. And then you can get you through the next session.
I need to stay awake.
Yeah. Yeah. to my listeners and viewers, God bless. And today, try to lift somebody's burden. Make them laugh. Give them a call. Wave. Say hi to somebody. Remember, we're all in this together. So let's try to help each other. It'll make you feel better and the person you help feel better. We don't need any more hate. We don't need any more vitriol. There's plenty of that to go around. Just don't be a bearer of it. Paul, thank you, brother.
Thank you.
And say hi to Mom, and I'll be over for, and I prefer blueberry, but I'll eat any kind of pie.
Sounds good. Thank you.
And all of you, see you next time. And remember, be kind to somebody today. It costs nothing. Bye-bye.